بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد Yesterday we discussed our aqaid and beliefs in regards to the Sahaba رضي الله تعالى عنهم that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed every Sahabi and has given him the glad tidings of Jannah whilst in this worldly life. And then we discussed also the ranks of Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. That amongst the Sahaba, Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, then Umar bin Khattab, then Uthman, then Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. In tartib, these are the ranks that they hold in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Today we'll begin our beliefs in regards to the awliya. Awliya, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This word comes in Quran Sharif also. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ These are the friends, Allah, listen well. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ That indeed the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ There's no fear upon them what will happen in the future. وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ Nor will they grieve over what they left behind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen them, has given them the title of his awliya and his friends. In the Hadith Sharif also the same words are used, Man aada li wali, the person who hurts a friend of mine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I declare war against that person. So what's our beliefs in regards to the awliya? We should have, our aqidah should be correct. Anbiya alayhimu salatu salam, we discuss the beliefs in regards to them, then the sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, and then the awliya of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. When a Muslim worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, refrains from sin, frees his heart from the love of the world and follows the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he becomes a friend and a beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's explained that when he refrains from sin, the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has iman in his heart, he has taqwa. Place of iman, taqwa is the heart. When iman will grow, taqwa will grow, then taqwa will become zahir and become apparent in a person's limbs. You will see the taqwa now in his limbs. Iman is in the heart and taqwa now is spread towards his limbs. Then you can see the taqwa in his eyes, the taqwa in his heart, the taqwa in his hands and his feet. مَنْ ذَكَّرَكُمْ اللَّهَ رُؤْيَتُهُ When you see him, then you're reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then مَنْ زَادَكُمْ مَنْتِقُهُ مَنْ زَادَكُمْ عِلْمًا مَنْتِقُهُ When he speaks, then you're ilm increases of the knowledge of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And he reminds you of the akhirat when you look at him. Then you can understand this is a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he abstains from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his heart is free from the love of the world, that his heart, and you can see his direction is towards the akhirat, is talibul akhirah. That he has desire for akhirat, increased desire in the hearts of the people for akhirat also. And he follows the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he becomes a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beloved of Allah. Such a person is called a wali, a friend of Allah. At the hands of such a person, certain acts are at times manifested, which cannot be done by others. This is referred to as a karamat. This karamat also, we call a miracle, is not by his own doing, or by his own will. This is now the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala wishes it to happen, so Allah ta'ala causes it to happen upon his hands. Said by his own choice. That now he's got such powers that he can do certain things. He can't do anything. Karamat are from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also karamat not necessarily is a dalil and sign of the person being a wali of Allah. As Hakim Sahib rahimullah was saying, is to say that if a karamat and a miracle was a sign of wilayat, being a friend of Allah, then Mr. Fly will be a very big wali. Mr. Fly. Because he's flying all the time. You see a buzruk, it is flying, doesn't mean he's a wali of Allah. Because even the flies fly also. So he must have taqwa in his life. Abstain from sunnah and guna, and fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he's a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, you will have sagair, minor sins, it's possible to perpetrate the minor sins, but kabair he won't have. He won't have major sins in his life. And if perchance he slips, immediately he'll make tawbah. In public he made a mistake, then in public he'll make tawbah also. Like in public he'll make tawbah. In privacy he'll make tawbah. Even though a wali may reach a very lofty status, he will never equal the status of a nabi or a sahabi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen Anbiya alayhi salatu salam, and sahaba ikram also were chosen. So he will never equal to any nabi or any sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No matter how beloved a wali may be to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, it is compulsory for him to remain within the confines of the sharia, Islamic code of law, as long as his senses remain intact and he is in a state of consciousness. He will never be absolved of duties such as salah, fasting and forms of worship. No act of sin will ever be permitted for him. It happens sometime where you have so-called people that appoint themselves as friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or as sheikhs and peers, etc. And they absolve themselves that I don't have to perform salah. My ruh goes to Madinah Munawwara, or my soul goes to Makkah al-Mukarrama. And I can see different things that are happening. So a wali will never be absolved of it. Some of our awliya of the past also, when the news came to the mashayikh that he's gone into a trance, he's got a hal, which is not necessary now, but he's going into a hal. So the sheikh became a bit worried, but he's reading his salah on time. Yes, he's reading his salah on time. Then he's safe. Can go into a hal, but salah must be on time. No matter how high he becomes in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, but he has to perform his salah, he has to keep roza, and all the amal and the duties of sharia are still binding upon him. He's never free of this. So anybody will claim now that I'm such a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's no parda for me between me and the masturat. They've reached such statuses now, that the masturat now are like my daughters. So bring the women folk also. Be careful. There's no such thing now that there's no parada for this person, there's no segregation, and the laws of Allah Ta'ala don't apply to him. It will always apply. No matter what kind of a wali he may become. Whichever person acts contrary to the sharia can never be a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Hakim Sahib will say, rahmatullah alayh, a person can do all the dhikr in the world, and he can abstain from all, and he can do all the muthbit and the positive a'mal. All ibadat, tahajjud, ishraq, awabin, nawafil, and everything. But if he has sin in his life, he'll never become the friend of Allah. He'll never become the friend of Allah. He can do basic fara'is only. The basic fara'is, even he omits the nawafil and the optional a'mal, but he has no sin in his life, Allah will make him his friend. Allah will make him his friend. He's trying, he's persevering. But he can do all the extras, but doesn't close the doors of sins in his life, he will never become the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will never accept it. As the Talib rahmatullah gives the example, he says we regard sometimes the minor sins also to be trivial. But a person has a white kurta, is going for Salatul Eid or Salatul Jumu'ah, and it's a muddy day, there's rain outside. So he'll save himself even from the small droplets also that come onto his kurta. If it comes onto his kurta and his pants, he says, my pants got dirty. He won't tolerate it. If he overlooks it and carries on walking like that, then the little dots, those muddy dots of water that come onto his clothes too, he will become a whole patch. So too the sagair and the minor sins, the person doesn't worry about it, doesn't take care of himself, then these minor sins will develop and become major sins thereafter. So they even abstain and they try their best to abstain from the minor sins also. If any astonishing action is enacted on his hands, then this is based on sihr. Person acts contrary to the sharia, he can never become the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If anything amazing, astonishing happens on his hands, then this is based on sihr, witchcraft, or some satanic influence. He's doing some powerful healing, or he's a very powerful amil, etc. But he's got sins in his life. Then he's playing tricks to the people's eyes. It cannot be, it's not possible. One should not have trust in such a person. The friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the awliya, come to know certain secrets whilst asleep or in a state of wakefulness. They come to know by the permission of Allah, not on their own, that they can tap into the unseen world. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also was not the know of the unseen. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْلِ وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْلِ لَسَّكْتَرْتُ مِنَ السُّوءِ. Even Nabi alayhi salam, I don't have the knowledge of the unseen. So no wali of Allah has by himself intrinsic that he knows what's happening in the unseen right now. And sometimes we feel, the certain buzruq or wali of Allah, some people feel afraid to shake hands or to go nearby because he might come to know of my sins and my gunas. So what happens? The person stays far from him. Yes, but the permission of Allah, if Allah wants to reveal to him for the betterment of that person, then it's possible. But they don't have the knowledge of the unseen. Together with this also, this is a side note, people have this notion also when it comes to jinnat. The jinnat, if there is a jinn in the house, and they are pious jinns looking after us also. They are there. And we have the shayateen, the gangsters and the naughty ones too. They will feel sometimes that the jinnat, they know what's going through my mind. They can read the mind. They know I'm afraid right now. They can't do that either. They don't have knowledge of the unseen, of the unknown. Yes, they can perceive that you are afraid. They can perceive you are afraid, but they can't read your mind. They don't know what's in the unseen. This is referred to as kashf or ilham, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because their hearts become very, very clean in the love of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes kashf. Kashf means to reveal, to open up. So Allah ta'ala opens up things for them of the unseen or ilham. Allah inspires them with something at that moment. If it is in accordance with the sharia, then it will be acceptable. If their kashf is accordingly, according to sharia, then it will be permissible. But if something else, like Fazal gives the example, always one bogus peer was walking with his murids, and all of a sudden he stopped. He said, "Hat yahan se, hato." Fazal, kya hua? What's happening? He saw one kutta, saw one dog making peshab at the Kaaba Sharif, I just chased it away. Subhanallah, Hazrat, what a peer you are. You're walking over here and you can see Kaaba Sharif. And then you chase the dog away. He said, "Gee, Allah Ta'ala, subhanallah, I'm always in the haziri of Allah." So, the murid went home and told the wife that my Shaykh, subhanAllah, you can see Kaaba Sharif from here also. That when Kutta came, they chased it away, the dog. The wife knew. Husband got caught up now with the wrong Shaykh. So she said, "Call your Shaykh, give him da'wat. And call all your friends also that were with him." So he called. So she wanted to test the Shaykh, really, is he a Shaykh or not? So she had dal chawal, dal and rice, as you call it. So she's serving it and she served all the murids first. And the Hazrat now, he's huffing and he's puffing. He didn't make my izzat. But he's serving all the Hazrat, he's supposed to have, you're supposed to have humility. You're given the bayan and humbleness. So now you shouldn't be waiting to be served first. So she tested him and he's getting all upset and angry. What kind of izzat this? That you're eating first, I'm sitting alone. And even the host now, the husband is getting upset. Where's my Hazrat? I'm sending it. So she dished for all of them, the rice first and the dal on the top. And when she sent for him, his food now, it was only rice. So he called the murid, he said, "Kya baat hai? All of you all got dal and rice, myself only plain chawal." He got even more angry, went to the wife, took off with her, "What's wrong with you? You humiliated me in front of everyone, and my sheikh also. You gave everyone dal and rice, and you gave him only rice, plain rice." He said, "Your Hazrat, mashallah, you can see Kaaba Sharif right from here, and the dog was there. The dal is under the rice." He didn't see it. He couldn't see the dal under the rice. Then he realized, his eyes opened up after that. Then his eyes opened up after that, that this Shaykh of ours reality now is only catching us. Where he saw the Kaaba Sharif and now he can't see it. There's a doll over here. So we should be very, very careful who we make contact with. It's not based of some ilham or kashf. We go to amils also. We go to amils. Here also we should be very, very careful. He'll tell us one, two things and you say, "Hey, he knows everything about me." Yes, Allah Ta'ala. There are channels now via jinnat, they will come to know 1%. And they will add 99% lies to it. 1% is correct. And mashallah, the masturat, they catch them very quickly, the ladies. Which lady doesn't have a headache or a backache? Your back pains over here. By night time, you're very tired. And this happens, yeah, he knows. Then they'll add everything else. And she begin to believe it. And the man also, say, "Bo powerful, say. The amal is very powerful. He knows a lot of, yes, we get the genuine ones." Hazrat says, one amil came also, he was very famous, mashallah. He was doing now, miracles were happening on his hands, karamats. Karamats, and he would tell the murids also that I got jinnat, then they can move things and go from place to place, and they can sort out things, etc. And he was making a lot of money. He was in South Africa, Hazrat says. And he was doing ajeeb things, and people were flocking to him. And he wanted now to go to UK, so he came to the Darul Uloom, he came to Moana's office, Moana heard about him, he said, "Hazrat, I need to go to UK, if you can just organize some papers for me, please." Hazrat said, "You got jinnat moving things in the world, you want papers from me?" I should be asking you for help. Then you got caught out. Small papers now you need just to get your papers done over here so you can move to the UK. But to the people now you're telling them other things. So you should be very, very careful when it comes to these amils, etc. Yes, we have our Ayatul Kursi, Ma'awadatain, our three quls. Read all these things as much as we can. Yes, it is reality. These things are there. These things are there. Either it's a physical test or spiritual test or some jadu, some sihar, etc. is there, but it can't be everything. It can't be everything. Hazrat says the biggest jadu that is in the world that is there is the jadu that we are making. In our homes we have there, and our cell phones also. We got now, we open Quran Sharif, we close it, now we open different websites. Now you're mixing haqq and batil. What's going to happen? You're going to have jadu coming from there. Many people, you go to the homes, you got the whole, the last sermon, the farewell hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you got Ayatul Kursi over there. And below that, you got the TV screen. You mix the both, you're going to get jadu in the house. There is going to be fighting. The jinnat are going to come. Because you're mixing the two. You know the Sangomas too. And all the Sai Babas, they mix all these things together. They got Quranic ayats over there. Plus they got Hindu things there. They got everything else from there. They make all the jadu. So we also are doing the same thing in our homes. Allah Ta'ala save us. We're also doing the same thing. Sometime in the shops also, we're playing the music there. Just now we played Yasin Sharif. Many of the takeaways and the franchises nowadays, unfortunately, are Muslim franchises. And they say, you know, we have to play the music. We have to play the music. Plus they got Ayatul Kursi and they got the big Taweez also there to chase the jinnat away. What are you calling them? You are calling them. So we should be careful now in regards to these things over here. And very importantly, ulama explained that those that get affected the worst with these type of things are our own children and babies. Crying the whole night. Why? Because you got the doll over there. You got the murat and you got the pictures on their clothing. And mothers are not careful about this. They'll buy for them pyjamas, and they've got murat over there, they've got surat over there, they've got dolls in the houses, funny things with eyes on it. So these things attract the jinnah, they love these things. And also they say close the bathroom doors, toilet doors, because that is where the shayateen breathe. So we are sleeping peacefully, but the children are suffering, because they're very sensitive. So we are creating these things in the home, then we blame other people. That family member is making jadu on me, that one they got nazar on me, that one has jealousy over me, so they're doing all these things over here. But if we don't realize, we are doing it within our own homes, with the music, in the Quran tilawat, in the TV, and then the cell phone, and all these murat things in the house, etc., and the photography. Most of the cell phones you will find, they've got now the screensaver, children's pictures are there. Then Quran Sharif top of it. Then you close it, then the picture again is over there. So all that we're mixing up. All these gadgets now we have, one is the radiation behind it. Like one person now woke up 2 o'clock in the morning, husband woke up 2 o'clock in the morning, and he looks towards the wife's side, he says, so much of Noor coming from your corner. When he opens the duvet, she's on the cell phone. I thought there was Noor, but in reality the light of the phone was on. So there's no Noor, that is all now, the jadu we bring within the house. So the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them kashf or ilham. If this ilham or kashf is in accordance with the sharia, then it will be acceptable. And if it is contrary to the sharia, then it will be rejected. This is contrary to the dreams of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, which are wahi revelation. Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, whatever dreams they saw, this is a type of wahi and revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam saw the dream that he's slaughtering his son. This is wahi. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had dreams, is also wahi revelation. What insan sees, not necessarily has to be true. Hadith Sharif says also that astaqa ru'ya, that the most truthful of dreams will be the time of sahri. Time of tahajjud, that's the most truthful time when a person will see dreams. But it shouldn't be a person now leads a life of dreams only. That everything is a dream. What will happen? You have to have the interpretation. Leave it to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Don't get too much in dreams. Especially the musturat also, they see dreams now, and they become very, very perturbed and worried. They become very afraid, I saw this dream, or I saw that dream, or I saw somebody passing away, or dying. Sometimes you might see something very frightening, but the interpretation is totally opposite to it. One of our mashayikh also, somebody saw him in a dream, that he passed away, and the janazah was coming out. So that student was absolutely perturbed. They saw my ustaz passing away and janaza was coming out. Was very restless. So when he asked the ustaz finally, Hazrat, I saw this in a dream. He says, Alhamdulillah. Student got a shock. Hazrat, I saw you passing away. You say, Alhamdulillah. He says, he actually meant that my nafs died. My nafs died. Because you're making the effort of killing the nafs. So inshallah, there's some glad tidings. But how we will see it now, the ladies now, they see dreams, they get so perturbed, petrified. And they feel somebody did something on me. Oh, there's a block on my life and things will not happen, etc. So we can't lead our lives based upon dreams only. So to come back to reality. And make dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Make effort in the correct direction. So if now this ilham or kashf, this so to say inspiration that they have, or the dreams they have, is contrary to the sharia, then it should be discarded. But this is contrary to the dreams of the anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam, which are wahi, in which there is no possibility of contamination from shaitan. So anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam, their dreams are not from shaitan. Ours can be from shaitan. We find especially the dreams after sehri. Person goes to sleep, got a full belly, full stomach, and he sees a lot of things after that. And he gets very, very worried. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said also in different riwayat, that when you see these types of dreams, then you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. And you sputter. Don't spit now, but you sputter to your left hand side. If the wife is there, obviously you can't spit now, so you just make like a spitting sound. And change your karwat, change your side after that. Because really, it was a nightmare. So don't worry about it. Read A'udhu and carry on this one from shaitan. It should not disturb you whatsoever. Allah Ta'ala gives understanding. So this is in regards to the awliya and the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here also, Hazrat explains to us that we have the friends of Allah, the ulama, ikram, who to follow, who to find, who to listen to. There's much detail. But when it comes to ulama, ikram, the awliya, here in our situation, we'll always see that those ulama that have come from outside into our localities, our senior ulama, who have brought us up and taught us our deen all these years. If they sanction a certain alim and they give him the musalla and they give him the minbar, the podium to give bayan, then this is sanctioned. Those seniors now, mashallah, they taught us our deen all these years. The ta'alimi board, they have the syllabus, our children grew up on that, we learnt it, we had maktab also, etc. And we trusted them all these years. And they're still guiding us, alhamdulillah. So who they sanction and who they happy with, those are the ulama we should follow. And those that they abstain from and they refrain from, then we know those ulama we don't follow. Although it might be looking good, but we trusted our seniors all these years, they brought us up, we understood sharia and deen. Like, it can't be that we know more than them now. That they haven't understood and we've understood something. So this all comes from Surah Yasin. Where Allah Ta'ala sent those two Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ. Allah Ta'ala sent a third one to back them up also. وَقَالُوا إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ مُرْسَلُونَ. That Allah sent us as messengers to you all. Then to the people belied them. فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا. They didn't want to believe in them. Then a local person came. مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى. A local person from the outskirts came to the city and told them, اِتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. They followed these messengers. Follow this local person who they trusted. So he came and told them, trust them. They are the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the salient feature, مَنْ لَا يَسْلُكُمْ أَجْرًا. They don't ask you for anything back, no repayment. They're coming only for your betterment. They want no name, no fame, no likes, no subscribes. They just want you to become the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They want nothing more from you. Follow them. وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. And he stamped it. And he stamped it that they are rightly guided. So this is the person to follow. He came from outside, follow him. Doesn't ask you for any return, no repayment, and he is rightly guided. So when our local ulama tell us also, this is a friend of Allah. You can trust him. We give him the masjid, we give him the bayans, we give him the Jummah platform, etc. These are the ulama that we can trust. There are many out there with flowery speech, very flowery speech, and also different accents. And now we want to listen to them on different platforms and apps. But whether they're taking us in the right direction, as we mentioned yesterday, they might give the whole bayan, they say, but everything was good. Spoke exactly what the ulama are speaking, but one line will come in between. One line will come in between, and this is a poison. And he won't pick it up. Everything was good. But he just mentioned one thing, by the way. We don't realize now that entire bayan wasn't the maqsad, was the purpose, was this one line over here. And we got caught in this. We didn't realize that this was the wrong thing, but we trusted him. So those ulama that we trust all, and they, mashallah, sanction those below them, we follow them, we'll be safe, inshallah. We don't have to look offshore, other ulama. We've got plenty, alhamdulillah, that have been guiding ourselves, our children also, alhamdulillah, so we can trust them with our iman and our deen. When it comes to our dunya, we're so careful. Where to invest my money? We check it up over and over and over again. Whether I must put here, how much to put here. So on our deen also, you see who we're taking our deen from. We just can't take from anybody. Where he's going to take us, where he's going to leave us, what's going to happen to us thereafter. Allah Ta'ala protects. And before we know it, as we mentioned now, that we become so close to them, we don't realize sometimes we're doing the wrong things now. What we weren't doing all these years, now we're doing it. Now we're doing the selfies with them. And now bring your wife also, bring your daughter also. And if you don't bring them, then we'll come into your house on the big screen. Then your wife will have to see us. Allah Ta'ala protect us. We mentioned yesterday also, we don't like to see it every time, but it's a reality right now. And as I said, we should share this with our people, that we should be very, very careful, that this fitna right now around us, where we might think these are the awliya and the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but are they really? They're coming on the big screens, etc. And over 80 years plus woman got the big screen at home, telling another woman that there's a Molly Sahib that comes on the big screen, or Etlaro Paroche. He's so handsome, Jovano, such a handsome man, comes on the big screen. Over 80 years old, and she's maftuna. Fell into fitna at that age. Fell all in the name of deen. Never make tawbah. Never make tawbah. The eyes. She says, even my husband knows at this time, this is my program. He mustn't even trouble me. Don't even talk to me at that time. So where's the deen gone now? Who she's supposed to listen to and who she's listening to? Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم ياسين فرست جيزي بدو ياسين فرست إن شاء الله وياسين in our morning duas then we make our zikr إن شاء الله إذا تسكن تيدي green كتاب ستو دي ياسين إن شاء الله